welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church this morning, just for our worship service. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up the worship service with prayer. Please remember, next week after the morning service, we'll have a hot dog and hamburger luncheon. If you'd like to bring a dessert, you can, but please plan on staying to celebrate the 4th of July. So please plan on staying with us and enjoying that time of fellowship. July 30th, there will be a fifth Sunday lunch after the morning service also. And no choir practice tonight. Any other announcements? Deacon's meeting next Sunday at 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. We'll try to make sure we mention that also next Sunday. Any others, y'all? Sissy has promised that we were not going to do a hallelujah, praise the Lord. I think
everybody's tired.
If you were in Vacation Bible School, you know what I'm talking about. But
That was fun.
That was real fun. I'm sure Brother Tim will have more to say about that as when he gets up here. Any birthdays last week or today?
Brittany
had one last week. Glad to see Brittany back. Any others? Brother?
Come leave us in.
Who's Brittany?
Right here.
Brittany, happy birthday. Anyone else? Nobody? Well, let's all sing. Can y'all sing in the key of G this morning? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, an opportunity to gather here, Lord, and in your house today to worship you and worship you alone today, Lord. Lord, we lift Brother Tim up to you as he stands before us and proclaims your word today, Lord. I pray that we have come with hearts to worship, Lord, and that we will be attentive, Lord. We will listen, Lord. We will hear, but most of all, Lord, that we will take your word and go out and apply it in our lives, Lord, and obey it. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah.
Thank you, Brother. Well, our call to worship this morning is hymn 203. If you're looking in the hymnal, his name is wonderful. Let's all stand as we sing this morning.
Thank you.
first, second, and last verses.
138.
Too loud. Sandwiches or peanut butter or whatever. Would you stand up this morning? Come on now. I just want to thank each of you for your service, not only to this church but to the Lord. And I appreciate it. It is an encouragement to me as your new pastor to realize that people want to do. Amen. And so I just want to say thank you. I have been asked, if we will, to remember Michael Barnes and also Tripp. Is Newberry his last name? Let's remember Tripp. He has strep. But anyhow, if you will, just continue to pray for them this week as you go through. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to take the Bibles this morning and turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. This passage kind of goes along with our Sunday school lesson that we've been studying in Jeremiah, or they'll catch up with this part of Ezekiel. But We know that Ezekiel was a prophet to the nation of Israel that had been overthrown by Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar around 597 B.C. The nation of Israel knew who their God was, but they failed to serve God. They failed to worship God and God alone. Their problem was that they kept going after false gods and worshiping false idols and serving other gods who were not gods at all. God had warned them time and time again through prophets that they needed to repent of their sins, of unfaithfulness to God, and the people refused to hear. They refused to listen. They refused to take warning. Well, they believed that God would not judge them. Sound like America today. Many people think they can live how they want to, worship what they want to, go where they want to, do what they want to with no consequences whatsoever. They believed that because they were, quote unquote, God's people, that God would never punish them. But can I tell you, as I mentioned last Sunday morning, a loving father cannot let his children be disobedient forever. Sooner or later, God will discipline his children. As we look at these verses this morning, I want to begin reading verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 37. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to those bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a great noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come to this time, Lord, where we have read your word, Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of it. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts and lives today. Lord, I pray that you would breathe life into our dry bones that we have today. Lord, I know this passage is speaking about Israel thousands of years ago. But Lord, you have a plan and purpose for it even in our lives today. In 2023, Lord, we have gone through a lot in our nation, in our world. We're going through a lot right now. You know, Lord, some of us feel tired. Some of us feel physically dry, spiritually dry, mentally dry, emotionally dry. And Lord, we just ask you today to breathe life into us, Lord, because you're the only one who can. Lord, I pray that you would have your way. And Lord, bless the reading of it today. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we walk through life sometimes dried up, don't we? If you have listened to the media over the last few years, everything seemed to be lost. There seemed to be no hope. Matter of fact, when COVID started, they said everybody was going to what?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Atlanta Disney movie where that one little lady is smoking a cigarette and she says, we're all going to die. You know, if y'all hadn't seen that, you go watch it. It's kind of fun. But anyhow, that's the way sometimes life goes. We feel that way. We feel that way when life goes wrong. Amen. We feel when something tragic happens to us that all hope is lost. And sometimes we question, where do I go from here? Where do we go from here? We feel physically dried up sometimes. Sometimes the more we do, it seems like the deeper we get. The faster you dig, the more the sand pours in around you. You get that way sometimes because of busy life, sometimes because of your job. But it's easy to become physically dry. It's also easy to become mentally dry. When we're overloaded with the things of the world, we look around and we see what seems to be, and can I say this carefully? Sometimes we look around and we ask, God, are you working? Now, we know from this past week's experience that we saw God working, amen? We saw God working in the lives of children. We saw God working in the lives of adults. And Thursday night, you know, it blessed my heart to see all the parents who were here. But, you know, sometimes we get dried up mentally and emotionally. Sometimes we're just overwhelmed with life. Sometimes we get dried up spiritually. We get dried up spiritually. And just let me give you a few examples here. Can y'all hear me if I walk away? Sometimes you can go through the process of reading the Bible. Sometimes you can go through the process of even praying. Sometimes you can go through all the motions and still feel disconnected from God. And I tell you, that's not the time to give up. That is not the time to give up. That's the time to continue on. It's the time to continue to pray. It's the time to continue to read the Word of God and to apply it to your own life. Sometimes we get dry because of lack of worship. Somebody who can tell me they're on fire from God, I'm out of the church. That don't work. I'm just going to be honest with you. You cannot be in service to God the way God would intend you to be when you're disconnected from the body. What did Jesus say in John 15, 1 through 5? Without me, you can do what? Nothing. I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but you can lose your effectiveness. A vine that is separated from the tree will do what? It dries up. It dries up. Sometimes we get dry because of a lack of activity. Sometimes when we sit around and watch everybody else work and we don't get involved in the work of the Lord, we can become dry because we begin to be judgmental on what other people do. Sometimes we just plain out feel dried up. Life. How many of you would say you've ever felt that way? Like your body, your soul, your spiritual life, everything about you is dried up. Well, I believe it is in this context that God brings Ezekiel into the wilderness, or we might say the desert, in this case. But I want to share with you some lessons that I believe God wanted to teach Ezekiel at this time. Sometimes God has to bring you to the valley. Think about that for a minute. Get my over here. For some reason, I can hear myself better over here than I can there. Sometimes God has to bring you to the valley. It's for your good. It's for your benefit. Ezekiel was a dedicated prophet. He was a faithful prophet of God. But God brought him to the valley to have him realize that God is still in control of every situation. But can I tell you, there's another factor here. Not only does God sometimes bring you to the valley is where Satan wants you to be. The valley is where Satan wants you to be, and you have to be careful when you're walking through the valley on who you listen to and who you put your faith and trust in, because the valley is where Satan tries to discourage you. If you think about Ezekiel for just a moment, as God brings him out in the spirit and he is looking around this valley, what does he see? Well, the Bible tells us he has a panoramic view. It says the Spirit of the Lord took him all around this valley, and from every direction he looked, all he could see was what?
Dry bones.
Dead, dry bones. And matter of fact, he didn't just say they were dry bones. He says they were very dry. You know what that means? It means that bones had been in that valley for a very, very long time. Now, Satan wants us in the valley, because Satan, as Jesus says in John 10:10, says Satan wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Satan wants us in that valley where we think that there is no way out. Satan wants us in the valley for us to think there is no hope left in ourselves or in anything else or in God himself. Satan wants us to think that there is no one who can help us. And if you think about the nation of Israel and you apply that to the Sunday school lessons, Israel's fixing to find out that they're going to be judged, they're going to go through a period of time, but that there still is hope in God. Second thing I want us to see is that there are bones. As I mentioned already, as we read, the valley was full of dry bones. Tells us there were many. Many. This was an exceedingly great army, as the scripture tells us. How many is exceedingly? I don't know. It's a whole bunch is all I know. But they were everywhere. Everywhere he looked, there were very dry bones. If you've ever found bones walking through the woods, are they all stuck together? Not generally. What happens to them? The birds of prey, the squirrels, the raccoons, the possums, the whatever, they get a hold of them and they drag them off the coyotes and foxes and everything else. And you'll find a piece of bone here and some over here and some over there. I could imagine maybe that's the way it is. Scripture doesn't specifically tell us that's what happened. But I could imagine these bones are not only dead, they are dry, but they are also scattered on the valley floor. I could not imagine being Ezekiel looking at this scene. I could not imagine him, because he is Israelite too. And he sees the helplessness and the hopelessness that his people are facing, because in their situation there was no hope left. I couldn't imagine being captured by a foreign nation or foreign nations and being drug off. If not slaughtered, I'd be drug off and have to serve somebody else in their home or whatever. And so we realize that this situation seemed to be unbearable. But as I thought about this passage, and this is what led me to ask Ms. Shauna and Carol to sing this morning, y'all did a great job, amen. The God of the mountain is still the God in the valley, okay? okay? And that's what we have to understand, that the mountaintop is great, but I never appreciate the mountaintop if I have not gone through the valley first. And that's what we need to realize, that God is trying to teach us to trust Him, not only in the good times, because it is easy to trust God when your life's going great. But we also have a propensity to turn away from God when we're on the mountaintop. When everything is going good, we think we've got life under control, and sometimes God has to bring us back down to the valley so that we'll look up. There's a question, point number three, the question. Verse three, God asked Ezekiel a question. God already knew the answer, amen? He didn't need Ezekiel's opinion. He didn't need his advice. He just simply wanted to know a question from Ezekiel. And God asked Ezekiel, he says, can these bones live? Now, if God asked you that question, what would you say? If you're standing in the middle of a valley full of dead bones, what would you say? I don't know exactly how many funerals I've preached, but I've preached a bunch. Maybe 50 or 60, I don't know. But I've never seen dry bones do anything. I'm just being honest, I'm not trying to be grotesque, right? Dead means dead. They can't do anything for themselves. But God asked Ezekiel, he says, can these bones live? God has a sense of humor sometimes, I believe. Because in verse 2, as we remember, God had took him around in the spirit, showed him everything. And like I said already, from Ezekiel's perspective, there was no hope whatsoever. Everything was dead. But Ezekiel still had hope in God. Ezekiel still had faith in God. You know why I know that? Because we find Ezekiel's response, point number four. Ezekiel simply says, oh Lord God, you know. You know. Now, I'm going to add in a little bit here, so y'all forgive me. It's not in between the lines or anything, but I'm just going to, from Tim's perspective, I'm going to step out and I'm going to say this. If God asked me that question, I'd probably say, well, God, you know whether they could live or not. But God, if you're asking me personally, from my eyes, from my heart, from my brain, this ain't going to work. This isn't going to happen. There is no hope for them whatsoever. But Lord, you and you alone know. You know the answer to that question. Lord, I believe you, but how many of you would be that way? I believe you can do it, but from my point of view, it's not possible. It reminds me of the father who had a son that had a demonic spirit. And he had brought his son to the disciples of Jesus, and the father asked the disciples to cast out the demon, and they tried, and guess what happened? It couldn't be done. And so the father, desperate, he brings his son to Jesus and asks Jesus, can you heal my son? In verse of Mark chapter 9, verse 20, three, Jesus tells him, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. But I would be like this man, because that's Jesus' words, and maybe that was God's words to Ezekiel even that day, was all things are possible if you believe. But maybe Ezekiel was like this father who said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe you can do whatever. Nothing is impossible for you. There's nothing too hard for God. That is scripture for us. But when we become people who are in the valley, do we really believe, or do we need help? I believe that's where Ezekiel was at that day. He knew that God was able. He knew that it was possible, but only God knew the answer, and it was up to God. Well, point number five, we found the answer. We found the answer. We found the answer that it is only the breath of God that can bring life. It is only the breath of God that can breathe life into you. It is only the breath of God that can breathe life into your situation. It is only the breath of God that can bring you out of the grave. Amen? You think about since Genesis, it is the breath of God that has accomplished everything. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we find that it is the breath of God that brought everything out of existence. Ex nihilo, which literally means out of nothing. I would like for scientists today to prove that they can create something out of nothing. Right? For there to be a Big Bang, somebody had to cause the Big Bang. Amen? Oh, we'll not get off on that subject right now. It was the breath of God that breathed life into Adam. It's the breath of God that causes you and I to live even today. It is the breath of God that saves us, because somebody had to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. It is that same thing that God is telling Ezekiel to preach or to prophesy to these bones. Now let me ask you for a minute. I'm standing up here in front of live people. I hope everybody's still alive, still breathing, still got a heartbeat. You're still awake. Here it is. God tells Ezekiel to preach to a bunch of dead bones. Could you imagine me given that task? But do you know, in reality, people who don't know God are dead? They're just dead men walking. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. If it's not for the breath of God that calls us to life, every single one of us would bust hell wide open. It is the breath of God that breathes life into you. It is the same breath of God through Jesus Christ who called Lazarus to come out of the grave. Amen. And if God, I believe this, if Jesus hadn't called him by name, called Lazarus, everybody would have come out of the graves at that point in time. You see, that is the power of God. It is the power of God. But I want you to notice something. And this gives this preacher hope. It gives this preacher hope. You know why? Because with the power of God, and when you speak the word of God, people can come alive. Verse 7. Ezekiel says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied," let's just change this, "as I was preaching, there was a noise. Suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them." I thought about that, and as I think about us even today, everything can look fine in church. I hope you got bones inside your body. I hope you got muscles, and I hope you got skin that covers you. And you might say you are alive, but it's just like these people who were in this valley. They looked the part. They looked alive. But guess what? Without the breath of God in them, there was no life in them whatsoever. Everything looked good, but they didn't have the breath of God in them. And you know, without the breath of God in us, without new life, without being born again, we have no hope or a future in Jesus Christ. We have no hope of heaven. Ezekiel prophesies. And it's the breath of God that causes these bones, these now bodies, to begin to breathe, to begin to stand up upon their feet. You see, it takes the breath of God to cause you and I to live. It's the breath of God that causes us to get up on our feet each and every day. It's the breath of God that gets us up and gets us moving. It's the breath of God that gives change to our outlook and our situation. With today and all that's going on in the world, we can kind of feel dry. Maybe you've got something going on in your life. Maybe it's a marital issue. Maybe it's a child issue. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's the in-laws or outlaws or ex-laws or whoever it may be. Maybe today you just don't have Jesus in your heart, so you don't have the breath of God in you, and you realize today that you're just a dead man walking. And you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to breathe his life and his spirit into you. You see, sometimes the world leaves us feeling like there's no hope, like there's no future. That is the way Israel felt at this moment. But God is giving them a symbol. He's giving them a sign through Ezekiel, showing him that it is the breath of God that can change any situation. But do we believe? Do we believe? You see, there's some of us that need to ask Jesus into our lives. Ask him to forgive us of our sins. We need to call out to Jesus and ask him to save us. We need to accept his holiness and righteousness. Some of us need to be renewed. Some of us need to be revived. You know what revival is? Is when we let God do a new work in us. It's just like taking an old car and remodeling it. It's a makeover. That's what we need in our lives. Some of us, we've been doing the same thing so long that we're just dead. We're dry inside, spiritually, emotionally, physically. And we just need to ask God to come into our lives, to breathe new life into us. Not that we've lost our salvation, but that we just need a new touch from him. We need new air in our lungs to do his will. Will you ask God to breathe life back into you? Will you ask God to breathe life back into Wigan Baptist Church? Would you ask God to breathe life into Grady County, into the state of Georgia, into the United States of America? Will you ask God to breathe new life into the world around us? That others can stand up, because I'm gonna tell you, if you really think about this army, and this is not the main point of this, but all these people who stood up on their feet after God breathed new life into them, they were a testimony to the power of God. And that's the power of God that can change your life, my life, but also the world around us. Can these bones live? If God can cause a helpless, hopeless, exceedingly great army come back to life through the power of his breath, don't you believe that God has the power to change your situations? Don't you think God has the power to change your life, your family's life, your situation, whatever you're walking through today, whatever valley you're in today? Let me say one more time, the God of the mountain is the God of the valley too. Will you put your faith and trust in him? Will you ask him to breathe new life into your body? I don't know what you're going through, but God does. Will you trust him? Will you stand with him? Heavenly Father, as we go in this time of invitation, Lord, you know the ones here today who are alive in you, and you know know the ones who are lost. You know the ones who need to be saved. Lord, you know the ones who need to be revived. Lord, you know the ones who just need to be encouraged. So, Lord, whatever problems we have, Lord, we need to be real with you. We need to realize that our situations seem hopeless and helpless to us. But, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. So, Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives today. Lord, may we not just be hearers of the word, but Lord, I pray that we would be doers. Lord, help us to be obedient to you and the Spirit, Lord, as you lead us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 317.